Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, let me remind you that if you have a question of a spiritual nature or a question about anything you hear on BBN, we can chat about it. Click bbnchat.org.
In the midst of your busy day, ladies, thanks for tuning in to Building Blocks for the Family. We're helping you build a strong family to the glory of God. The teenage years. The words can strike fear in the hearts of parents, but it doesn't have to be a dreaded time. Training through the teen years is our topic today. Francie Taylor, our guest, as she tells us, you're still on duty. Here's Francie Taylor, training through the teen years.
Another thing on the to-do list, have well-established viewing standards for TV and music. And you know, I don't care what the other families are doing. Your kids will go to somebody else's house and they'll come home and they'll carry the tail in the bucket, the old same, well, to so-and-so's house, we got to watch, what you know. But no, all that is information for you to know that next time the so-and-so's kids need to come to your house, if you like them that much. But you do not have to bend and bow your standards to somebody else's. Do not try to line yourself up with somebody else's family. Line yourself up with Scripture. Look at your family, say your last name, and say the Taylor family has to live according to thus saith the Lord. We're going to do what God wants us to do. Oh man, did my kids hear that a lot. We're going to do what God wants us to do. I know. Your friends get to go to the movies. I know. They get to watch this. I know. You're the odd man out. You can't name the latest actor. But one day you're going to be fine. And guess what? They're fine now. They tell us stuff and we sit and listen and we think, yeah, we told you you'd be fine. They're amazed at the damage that comes out of that later. Because once you desensitize yourself to wickedness and sin and evil, you do lower your standards. Sorry, ladies, but high is high and low is low. And when I'm in an airplane, I want the pilot to take the plane high if we're going to fly. So when people try to act like there's no high and low, they're deceiving themselves. There's high standards, there's low standards. Keep your standards high on these TV and media things. Why allow the secular media into your home when the role models are warped anyway? If you don't want those kind of people as friends for your kids, don't allow them in the door electronically either. And finally, line up your living with the preaching or expect to do battle with your kids. Now here's a problem area that's entirely parent related. If you agree with the preaching, live it. If you disagree with the preaching, do you need another church? Do you know there's more consistent outcome in taking your children down a notch where you will obey than staying and disobeying? Now that isn't a license I just wrote for you ladies to go quit your church tomorrow because you don't want to obey. I'm just warning you that you're headed for danger if you won't obey the preaching. Disobedience in a good home church is going to breed rebellion. We have got to get our walk right. Do your young people see the fear of the Lord in you? If not, make changes until they do. Number two, teach the importance of being a good listener. I bet you all knew what that blank was. I bet you could have filled that in without me helping you. But we need to teach the importance of being a good listener. Proverbs 19:20 says, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. They're not going to be teenagers forever. If they'll hear now and if they'll receive now, later, they're going to be wise. And so we have to teach them how valuable this is. Sometimes kids won't do something because they don't know the value of the prize. Increase the value of this prize in their eyes. We need to be a little bit more slow down and explain on some of these things. That takes time. We should not be so busy that we don't have time to teach. Item by item, line by line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. Deuteronomy 6, go and study it sometime. Make a note of that in your notes. Deuteronomy 6 gives us instructions on how we're supposed to be teaching when we're lying down, when we're walking, when we're sitting. I mean, it's telling us, you ladies and dads too, but I'm only talking to the ladies, we're on duty 24/7. We need to stay on duty and teach. Do not get so wrapped up in your personal job that you're not doing the home front, which is still very important during those teen years. It's so tempting to look at them and think that just because they can drive and they have a little bank account and a little bitty job, that we don't have to say much anymore. That's delusional. That's the time they need way more help. Did you say car keys? Shiver a little. And did you say your car? Shiver a lot. I think it was Irma Bombeck who said, never loan your car to anybody you gave birth to. And I thought, that's not bad advice. Especially if you see how they drive it. I always feel like my car feels looser after one of my kids has had it. Like, what'd you do to it? Do you ever, is anybody else like that? Like, you floored this. It's not working right now. I'm sure I'm imagining it, but it just is me. But really, we need to be really realistic about this. If they have that much freedom, they need that much more training. Otherwise, they could go off course very easily. But teach them the importance of being a good listener. Here's a few things to do in this area. First of all, warn your children about the danger of having to be told repeatedly. Now, ladies, that's a bad listener. You take them to Proverbs 29:1, and you warn them that if you have to keep telling them the same thing again and again, that it's an indication that they've hardened their neck. And the Bible's clear that if you harden your neck, you're going to be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. We don't want them to get to a point where they've done something that can't be undone. But if they get stiff-necked about it, that's what can happen. That's why we need to slow down so that we can explain concepts like this and not with one leg running out the door. And not always with your voice in the stern mode either. Ladies, I think we need to moderate our voices when we're talking with these older young people. Treat them a bit more like the grown-ups that they are. Don't always be like with their finger telling them what they should not do. Sometimes you talk to them as you're rapidly approaching my stage. And out of respect for that, I want to help you. You get a little bit more in their zone and tone yourself down a bit. Otherwise, what happens is they wall up on you. And then they'll either fog out what you're saying or just shut off what you're saying. No, we need to get a two-way thing going here. And it cannot always be that we are finger in the face rebuking. Also write this down, or if you're taking notes, make a note to be available. You know why? If you're always unavailable, you're always too busy, after a while they train themselves not to talk to you. And they will find a substitute, and it may be an unsuitable one. Peers, for example, are not the best counselors. Oh, come here, my blind friend. I need help, and I want to go in the ditch together. Yeah, they don't know. Their friends don't know any more than they do, maybe an inch more. But they are not going to help them like you could. If you have the I'm not available sign up, they aren't going to ask you. But if you make sure your young person knows, I'm yours, then they are going to talk to you. There are things that happen in their lives that shouldn't be swept under the rug or left undiscussed. And you need to be sure that you're available for those times when you're going to need to talk about some tough stuff. For example, I'm opposed to pretending somebody didn't get kicked out of the school when they got kicked out of the school. It's just a for instance. We always talked about meltdown things in our home because we didn't want our kids wondering, why does everybody always clam up when something's wrong? What am I supposed to do? And what are they supposed to do, ladies, if we don't talk and teach? It's a teachable moment, as they call it. It's an opportunity to explain what went wrong according to Scripture, what was violated, and then talk about the consequence. Was it worth it? 100% of the time, it's not worth it. And the more expensive the consequences, I think the better it is. Because if you really want to have a deterrent to repeat sin, make it expensive. Let's just not waste time, huh? When we don't make it expensive to sin, then why not sin again? Who wouldn't? but our young people need us to talk about this. Ladies, don't be a clam. So so-and-so got kicked out of the Christian school, and you know exactly what happened. I'm not advising you to gossip. I'm asking you to teach. Go teach your young people what went wrong and why. And even if you might find out something that I found out a couple of times, there are some times when your kids are at home stewing over it thinking, I think those consequences were too severe. If you're not going to talk about it, you're leaving them to try to figure it out on their own. And they will not be able to accurately figure it out on their own. They need a guide. Be the guide, please. And on that final note, in being a good listener, please teach your young ladies. Mothers, please, please teach your daughters to listen to you about what they wear. Would you? Keep working with them on it. Don't give up. And there'll be ups and downs, and you'll have some unpleasant moments. Do you think I never had a tough time with Hillary Arlene Taylor? I'll get permission from her before I tell you some of the hair raisers. But we had some go-rounds. Don't think we didn't. We had our moments. And they would give me a headache. But we had to get through it, and I had to be the parent. And now, it's a non-issue. She has lovely dress standards. She corrected me once at a conference and said, Mom, I think you need a pin there. Well, then help me pin it. I loved it. It was a precious moment. I loved it. And guess what? Not everybody's immodest on purpose. I didn't notice. Have you ever absent-mindedly not noticed something? I was so grateful for her observation. Real good reason to travel with someone. Because then you don't walk out undressed. But while you're teaching your young ladies not to be tempting with their clothing, likewise, teach your young men not to look. Now, I'm talking about training teenagers. It's part of the training to teach your young men not to look. And they may say, but Mom, and you can say, but you can guard your eyes. Scripturally speaking, it's true they can. And teach them to pray for extra temperance to be able to guard their eyes. Tell them to give their eye gates to God in the first place so that they won't look on a woman to lust after her in their heart. That is adultery training. We must teach that that's wrong. Ladies, don't accept that. Let's teach. Let's be good teachers. Teens learn how to listen when they're younger if we'll work on it. And then they're better listeners in their 20s. But if we don't work on it, they're going to be poor listeners at an older age. Number three, teach your young people what God expects from them. It's part of the process, especially at the older age. I really think we're leaving them without a compass and sending them into the woods. Do your kids know what God expects? Look, they know all about what you expect. They've heard it. But they're somewhat higher than you. We made big deal out of God in our home because we wanted our kids to learn to fear him. And not the only the dreadful fear, that's important, but the love fear too. Where I want to please you, Lord, which has a direct effect on the parents. Kids who are bent on pleasing God are by default going to please their parents. You know that. And so the scripture says in Micah 6:9, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Oh, man, I love that passage of scripture. That's good for us, too. But let's please teach our young people that they need to do justly and love mercy and, above all, walk humbly with their God. Walking with a full awareness of who they are, a sinner who sure needs that Savior, just like we do. Focus. We need to shift that focus off of people and onto our Heavenly Father, who allowed them to be born in our family in particular because he had a specific purpose and plan for them. Why do you think the devil's so busy chasing our kids? Because they have a reason for being here. They are so here by direct divine design of God. And if the enemy can keep them from serving their purpose, that's his victory. We don't want our kids off course. your child may end up one day being your preacher. Just chew on that a second, the depth of it. Obviously, that would be a good target. And that's why we have to teach them things like this. Teach them to fear the Lord. I think we have too many kids who are scared of getting caught rather than fearing the Lord. I mean, after all, getting caught is just a momentary activity. But you know what? The Lord who gives us heartbeats and breath. I often talk to my kids about take your next breath. Now imagine for a second that God didn't want to give you another one. It worked. They were scared. I wanted them scared. I wanted them to realize the power of our God. Don't trifle with God is what I was trying to teach. You know, never mind mom and dad for a second here. You walking like that in front of God? If we're not going to teach fear of the Lord, what are we expecting the kids to do but their own thing? We really need to teach fear of the Lord. It's lacking so much today, and that's a chief reason why we're seeing such an increase in foolishness and ungodly behavior. That's why kids can, you know, go slip off somewhere and have some kind of an encounter. They're actually living in the delusional land thinking God can't see me. My mom and dad can't see me. In fact, God's not even in their thoughts. How is it that we have Christian kids where God's not in their thoughts? Your job's not done when you help them find Christ as Savior. When you've led them to trust Christ as Savior, your job's just beginning. They need to learn how important it is that they fear the Lord. Another thing that we need to do is let's teach them to have Bible study and prayer. Too many young people are lacking that, and it makes a shallow young person. You want your life to go right? Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Storms will still come. There'll still be trials. There'll still be affliction. But we can weather it when we are grounded. And when you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God, you're also more teachable at any age. Stop allowing in your home, stop allowing Bible reading to be optional. And make it the law of the home. It's just good parenting. And I've suggested this before, but if you haven't been in my class before, let me suggest it again. If Bible goes with breakfast, it's a lot easier for them to get that in with the day. And if they don't eat breakfast, no problem. Then put some juice on the counter with the Bible. But our Bibles in our home were always up on the counter. And that way, when it was time for breakfast, they'd have breakfast with their Bible, and you could ask any one of my kids, and they'd tell you that's just how it went. So that way, at the top of the day, they had had time with the Lord, and the Lord had time to get their mind. And if the Lord is in your thoughts, He will control your responses. He will help you to be under the Holy Spirit control. So that should be a part of a home. And then finally, teach them to rule their spirits. Because Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." That means young ladies need to learn how to manage their moods, and young men need to learn how to control their tempers. And guess who's the trainer? It's part of our motherhood training job to teach our young ladies that you will have days when you don't feel so sweet, and that's not licensed to go rip somebody's face off. Likewise, our young men are going to have off days where they're just not going to quite feel themselves. And they might decide that they can just be angry and slam a few things or maybe punch a few things wrong. Teach this principle of scripture of ruling over the spirit, or else they're just broken down, dilapidated. They have no walls. They're like the city waiting to get raided. We have to teach it. It doesn't come naturally. And then remember this on that point. If you walk right, it helps them. If you don't rule your spirit, for example, you can't exactly pass that baton. It's really, really hard for them. Or if you're a powder keg with your temper, your boys are going to say, "Well, Mom, you blow up." Even if they don't say it verbally, you may see it more. And so we have to be so consistent in our testimony. The Holy Spirit makes that possible, ladies. He really does. Number four, never underestimate the power of who? Friends. Never underestimate the power of friends. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Many of you whispered it. Proverbs 13:20 is a good warning for us. And that means that we need to do just a few things as final reminders. First of all, I said it yesterday and I'll say it again, no unsupervised activities. Because you don't know who the companions are there. And I wish I could say that all Christian families are training their children to do right, but I can't say that. We have some very off-duty parents that are in our midst. And whether they're doing it because they didn't know better or they're doing it because they don't feel like it, it doesn't really matter. The end result is the same. When you have a young person who is allowed to do whatever they want to do and you mix them with yours, you're asking for some trouble. It's too risky. Don't take that kind of risk. Another thing to consider is don't make exceptions just because a friend is from a good family. If they're a rotten apple, but they fell off of a good tree, they're still a rotten apple. You wouldn't pick up a rotten apple and say, but I'm going to eat this because all the rest of those up there look so good. And there's worms and bugs and junk. You're not going to do that. Don't do that with your children either. If that young person that wants to hang around your young person comes from the status family of your church, but they don't do what they're supposed to do, they're not a good companion. I say that very carefully and compassionately because we don't always know why the other young person's struggling either. So I'm not judging the other family. You understand that, right? But I'm saying don't mix. You don't throw gasoline on a fire. That's what I'm saying. Another thing to consider under number 4, our last point here, is be extremely wary of sensual young people. They're identifiable. You do know what you're looking at, as I said earlier. You know a sensual young person when you see them. And if your young ladies don't mean to be sensual, then you go back to the clothing discussion I had earlier. But if they are trying to be sensual on purpose, one of the indicators is the style of dress. When I'm teaching only teenage girls about this, we get down to the nitty-gritty about what clothing does to a man. And it's a mother's job to do this, but when mothers allow their girls to come to one of my classes, they're pretty much giving me license to let it rip. And I do. I rip away at paint on clothing. And I go after things that are too low. And I talk about things that are too tight and that expose too much leg and etc. Anything that I learned was called eye trap clothing. It traps the eyes in places where you really don't want the eye to linger. We need to be so careful to teach our girls that that's sensual and that that attracts the wrong kind of attention. Likewise, a sensual young man, he gives himself away by the fact that he cannot seem to stay out of the close space with a girl. And the other thing is that his eyes don't go where they should. If you ever see a young man that's studying a girl's form, that's a sensual young man. I don't know what he was exposed to get him revved up like that, but it doesn't take very much. Their appetite can be very easily stirred. You do not want to, on purpose, put your children in the path of a sensual young person. It's dangerous. All it takes is a few words, and you've lost your girl. And all it takes is for the guy to have the hook put in deep enough and you've lost your boy. So we need to be alert. We need to be on the lookout. And we need to erect some barriers around our kids when we see that kind of thing. And then you go back to the point I had earlier, time to have a sit down and have a talk. And keep the talk civil. You want them to listen. So watch your tone of voice. And finally, warn about this. Warn about wrong relationships with adults. They're young adults in the making, you know. And you'd be surprised how many young people innocently get into trouble with someone maybe 10 or 20 years their senior. I say this cautiously now, but how many of you have heard about the news reports of school teachers running off with children? Don't think it couldn't happen in our circles. Don't think it couldn't happen. You know the principle in scripture of the wheat and the tares? The devil could put anybody in any place he wants to, and that's a tare, that's a weed, that's something that's there that doesn't belong. mixing right in with what does belong, the wheat. If you notice an unusual interest between a young person and an adult, cut it off. Again, don't play with your own head. You're seeing what you're seeing. You're not imagining. Cut it off and teach appropriate boundaries on these kind of things. I saw a teenage girl go up and hug a male teacher, and I almost blacked out. Is there any other mother with me here? It's like, I just let him go. You know, and she wasn't my daughter, but the hug she gave him. Enough said? I think we have to teach this because there's problems coming up, and our young people don't always know until they're in too hard, too deep. So let's be more helpful there. Well, ladies, in closing, I guess I could say this. You probably have a lot of books about child training if you have been one of those kind of parents that wants to really be on it. But I could say this. You could have less books and get into this book. The Bible is the best training manual. It is the best place to go for understanding how to train young people because there's so much at stake. Go back to the beginning of what I said. Ask yourself, what do I want in the life of my young person? What do my husband and I want? If you have your husband helping here, talk about it together, pray about it together, and get some godly goals.
Francie Taylor, Training Through the Teen Years. You've been listening to Building Blocks for the Family from the Bible Broadcasting Network, helping you build a strong family to the glory of God. For more information on getting a copy of today's broadcast, you can visit us at bbnradio.org. Go to the program schedule and then click on Building Blocks for the Family. bbnradio.org.
That concludes this online feature. We have an app for your smartphone. Just go to the App Store and download the BBN app free of charge.